words there, okay? Involving, commanding, empowering, and persuading. Before I tell you what to do, I'm going to tell you what to do after I tell you what to do, okay? Which is, when you do what I tell you what to do, I want you to flip the page so no one sees what you did. I'm going to tell you to do something on this page, and then after you do it, you just flip it like that so nobody will see what you did, all right? What I want you to do is think of these four words and encircle that word which, in your opinion, best describes your dominant leadership style or your typical leadership style, okay? Involving, commanding, empowering, persuading. I'm not going to explain to you what those words mean. On face value, based on what you understand by these words, encircle that word which best describes your typical leadership style and then flip it. Ready? Go. Encircle and flip. Okay? Now, you can't overthink it. Okay? If you need more than 10 seconds, the answer will probably be wrong. Now, turn the page. You're going to be given a leadership poster that will be distributed right now. Let us distribute the leadership posters. They will look like the one on page 23, except that they will have strings attached so you can wear the leadership poster with the printed portion facing out. Wear the leadership poster on your back with the printed portion facing out. You will also receive a set of stickers, okay? So, one leadership poster and one sticker. Yan, you see? This is courtesy of Giselle and her team who invented, you know? Right, sip, sip! So you're gonna get a leadership poster and a set of stickers. So wear the leadership poster right now. Sa likod mo, printed portion facing out. Now, I will explain to you what we're gonna do. According to Malcolm Gladwell is the author of the book Blink, among other books. Malcolm Gladwell said, "In a blink of an eye, human beings can make high-value judgments." For example, in the blink of an eye, I'm going to look at Sheena and say, aha, Sheena's character is like this. Okay? According to Malcolm Gladwell, I'm not going to debate Malcolm Gladwell, but I'm going to use his principle. So, in this case, rather than character, it's going to be leadership style. Okay? I'm going to look at Sheena, split of a second, make a discernment. Looks like a kind face. Must be involving. Or, kind of relaxed kind of person, probably empowering. Maybe controlling. I don't know. Okay? So, at any rate, when I say go, you bring your stickers, okay? And you move around the room. I want you to make a discernment on every one of the participants, okay? You have about 30, 35 stickers. There are only 26 participants, okay? You must finish all of your stickers except for 10. I think 25 dapat ang gagamitin mo, all right? All right, we're going to play some loud music to make things interesting. Ready? And go! You cannot request for any quadrant. If you have 9 stickers left, that means you're finished. If you have 9 stickers left, you got 35 stickers, there are 26 participants, or 25. No, if you have 10 stickers left, pala. If you have 10 stickers left, you're finished. You can go back to your chair. Okay, 1 more minute. If you have 9 stickers left, you're finished. You can go back to your seats. 1 more minute. Okay, if you're finished, you can take off the poster and count the number of stickers on the most stickered quadrant. Okay? Determine the most stickered quadrant. It is the perceived leadership style. This is your perceived leadership style. Okay? And then compare it with the style that you encircled kanina. Compare the perceived leadership style, which is the number of stickers in the dominant quadrant, with the one you encircled kanina, and see if your self-perception and third-party perception are the same. Okay? So how many people perceive themselves the same way as other people perceive them? How many people? Wow, very interesting. Okay. All right. Now, how many people have equal number of stickers in any two quadrants? Equal number of stickers, okay? This is called the schizophrenic perceived leadership style. Now, don't worry about it. Those of you whose self-perception does not match third-party perception, this is what I have to say. There is self-perception, there is third-party perception, and there is the truth. So don't worry. Don't worry about it. Just hang on to that, and we will process it later, okay? Turn with me to page 24. Page 24, okay? Principles of Effective Leadership Style. This is so crucial. I want us to read the first and second bullets together. Bullet number one. 1, 2, 3, go. It's not about the leader, but about the followers and the organization's goals. My goodness. We are indebted to two PhDs, two American PhDs. Their names are Paul Hershey and Ken Blanchard. You may have remembered Ken Blanchard. He is the author of the book, 1 Minute Manager. Paul Hershey and Ken Blanchard, two doctorate PhDs in psychology. They wrote a book in the 1960s. This is a long time ago. Entitled Situational Leadership. Okay, the concept I'm going to introduce to you is a simplified version. I just took out all of the burloloy. I mean, PhDs have a tendency, with all due respect to PhDs, to elaborate and iterate and reiterate. So what I did is I took the germ of the idea and simplified it, and I'm calling it readiness-based leadership rather than situational leadership. Okay, so we are indebted to Paul Hershey and Ken Blanchard. The concept was this. It was 1960s, a long time ago. And when I learned this, it changed my leadership completely. It changed my style completely. First of all, I was shocked that leadership style is not about the leader, but it's about the followers and the organization's goals. Let's read bullet number two together. People at different levels of development require different leadership styles. Number three, using your dominant leadership style in all situations is inherently problematic. That makes sense. And learning when to use the appropriate style improves your effectiveness. Very simple concept. And to me, it was life-changing. The reason why you cannot have one leadership style is because people need different styles. And if you use only one different style, you will be wrong about 75% of the time. And a lot of dysfunction in organizations today is because the leadership style of the leader does not match the readiness level of the followers. Okay? A lot of dysfunction is because of, ako leader. First of all, why should I adjust? You adjust to me. I'm the boss. You're the subordinates. You adjust to me. First mistake. Second mistake, I only have one leadership style. That may be true, but you need a menu of styles because people need different styles. All right. Page 24. Effective leadership styles are driven by the interplay of two factors. What is number one? The need to get things done, the need to develop people. Managers get things done. Leaders, or great people managers, get things done and develop people. Many dysfunctions in organizations today, including churches, is when getting things done gets rewarded only. As long as you get things done, I don't care how you deal with people. We're looking for results. And when an organizational leadership rewards getting things done only and does not care for developing people, it creates a lot of dysfunction in organizations today. In fact, that's why there's so much dysfunction in organizations today. Because there's an overemphasis on factor one at the expense of factor two. But we're talking about outstanding people management, and you need both. Let's talk about directive behavior and affirmative behavior. You need directive behavior to get things done. It's telling an individual exactly what, where, when, and how to do a task. Affirmative behavior gets things done by having two-way communication, facilitating learning, and encouraging the individual through psychological affirmation. Let's look at them in greater detail. The benefits of directive behavior. Focus is on the work. It is done on spec and on time. How many of you want your people to do their work on spec and on time? Okay. Is that good or bad? That's very good. Taken to an extreme, however, directive behavior develops autocratic or dictatorial leadership. People's well-being is sacrificed. Assumptions about people. People are just a means to an end. Their needs are secondary to the achievement of the organization's goals. Wow. This is Machiavelli. This is Hitler. This is the mafia. And you know what? Sometimes this is us. Okay? Unwittingly. When we have a resource mindset rather than a human resource mindset. When we utilize people. That's us sometimes. Okay? Resulting work environment. Strict rules, policies, and procedures. Punishment is viewed as the best way to motivate people. As you can see, some good points, some bad points. Let's talk about affirmative behavior. People want to be part of the team. Team members are productive, willing to take risks because of the supportive leader. Taken to an extreme, however, it develops a country club environment where team development assumes higher priority than work or business goals. Wala na kayong ginawa kundi mag-seminar. Except this seminar. This seminar is very important. Yes, joking. Assumptions about people. If people are happy and secure, they will work hard. That's true. Resulting work environment, relaxed and fun. However, work output suffers due to lack of direction and control. As you can see, even under affirmative behavior, some good points, some bad points. Directive behavior is not better than affirmative behavior. Neither is affirmative behavior better than directive behavior. You need a matrix of the two. And so when you do a matrix of the two, for example, on the vertical axis is affirmative behavior, and on the horizontal axis is directive behavior, you derive four quadrants, which will lead you to four leadership approaches or leadership styles. Okay, A1, give me the slide, A2, A3, and A4. Let's take them one by one. Okay, page 27. A1. Commanding, highly directive, low affirmative. You instruct the follower exactly what to do, when, where, and how. You go like this. Lara, I want you to organize the church's summer outing. Okay? Pencil and paper ready? Number one. Number two. See, I'm dictating to Lara. I am, you know, making directive. I'm being very directive. Makulit. Okay? That is commanding. Number two, persuading. High directive, high affirmative. You influence the follower to take your approach in doing a task. Here, I'm not going to dictate to Jeline. I'm going to say, Jeline, I have an idea. And I'm going to explain the idea to you. And I'm going to say, Jeline, don't you think that's a brilliant idea? Don't you think that's the best way to do the summer outing? I'm going to persuade you to adopt my idea. That is literally called the persuading. Okay? In the original concept, commanding is telling, persuading is selling. Okay? But, you know, that's cute, but if you want to do that, you can do that. I'm just doing commanding, persuading. Approach 3, or A3, is involving. High in affirmation, low in direction. Okay? You ask the follower for his opinion on how to accomplish a task. So I'm going to say, Janelle, how do you think we should approach the summer outing this year? You see, I'm not telling her exactly what to do. I'm also not telling her I have an idea on how to run the summer outing this year. I don't have an idea yet, but I'm involving Janelle. What do you think is the best way to do for this year's summer outing? And finally, empowering. Low affirmative, low directive. You delegate the task and trusting it to the follower. So I take Varsha. I say, Varsha, here's the timetable. Here's the date. Here's the budget. Bahala ka na. Okay, I delegate it to you. Okay, I empower you. All right, so those are the approaches. Let me see. Very good. Now, since you are now an expert in leadership styles, you have the first case study. Okay? Now, okay, we will group in your groupings kanina. Okay? So will you group kanina in the first exercise this morning? Okay, now, I will give you 3 minutes to read the case on your own, self-study, and try to answer the questions on your own. Teka muna, ba't nanganak itong grupong ito? 3, 7, all right, and 3, 6, okay, 8, all right, okay, so are you guys okay there? Wala, sige, pwede na, sige. I'll give you 3 minutes to study the case on your own and answer the questions on your own. After that, I'll give you 5 minutes to discuss it with your team to arrive at a consensus on the answers to the questions. And then I will give each team no more than 60 seconds to present their findings, the answers, which implies the need for a team presenter. In my seminars, we have a very democratic way of choosing the team presenter. Index finger to the ceiling. At the count of three, you shall elect your team presenter. 1, 2, 3, go! Hawa naman kayo, ah? No like that thing. Anyway. Yeah. Bale, sige. All right, so. You're the presenter. Who's the presenter here? Kathy, all right. And who's the presenter here? You and... Okay. 3 minutes self-study, 5 minutes discussion. Go! You should be discussing right about now. Your presenter will represent the wisdom or lack thereof in your team. So help your presenter present the entire team well. All right, time's up. Time's up. Who wants to go first? Finished or not finished? Time's up. Who wants to go first? Earth to... Okay, we got one. We got one. All right, then here. Then here, okay. Okay, 60 seconds. Siya muna. Go.
Okay. Start, what is the dominant style of Teddy? We decided involving.
Okay.
Kasi hindi siya masyadong directive. Pero ina-affirm naman niya si Esther.
Okay.
Scale of 1 to 10, 4. Kasi hindi pumasa, hindi na-meet yung objective.
Okay.
Tapos na demoralize Esther, ina-affirm niya pero lack of directive. Number 3, ideally what style should Teddy use? Persuading.
Okay.
Kasi parang kailangan ni Esther ng direction aside from affirmation. Tapos who is ultimately accountable for the result of the work? Teddy. Kasi siya yung leader. And what are the possible reasons Teddy did not change his style on Esther? 1, si Esther kasi hindi nag-ask ng help. Pero afterwards, parang responsibility ni Teddy yun, parang siguro siya yung old open door strategy. Inaantay niya si Esther na lumapit. Pero nakasulat dyan, hindi niya sinit down si Esther para malaman yung problem eh.
Okay, what's your name again, brother?
Edward.
Edward and team, thank you very much. Big hand for Edward and team.
Thank you.
Hi.
What's your name again?
Kathy. Yes. For our team, what is the dominant style of Teddy? We're kind of in between. For Teddy's, it's persuading or involving.
Okay.
The reason why it's persuading is because if meron tayong meron siyang characteristic wherein high directive siya, inutusan niya to do itong specific task na to kay Esther, and then pinabayaan niya lang eventually.
Okay.
And then involving high affirmative, low directive. Hindi naman siya nagkulang dun sa pag-encourage kay Esther. However, wala.
But what is your group's decision? What is the dominant style of Teddy?
Involving.
Involving. All right. Yes. Number two.
And then number two is in the scale of 10, we decide 3.
3?
Kasi 33%.
Okay. All right.
And then ideally, what style should Teddy use in dealing with Esther? Commanding. Do we need to explain? No.
Hey, you can.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's her first task. So maybe since yun po yung una niya, managing sana yung ginawa ni Teddy para lang okay. To check
right.
Kung kaya niya. And then, who is ultimately accountable for the results of the work? It's Teddy.
Okay.
Yeah, since he's the boss. What are the possible reasons Teddy did not change his style on Esther? Maybe because naisip niya na kaya naman ni Esther on her based on her previous job. So, he trusted so much yung task na yon kay Esther.
Kathy and team, thank you very much. Big hand for Kathy and team.
Sheena po.
Sheena.
Ayan. Sa team namin, we decided right on na involving yung style ni Teddy because ever-encouraging boss, yan. Pero low directive. Parang binabayaan lang niya si Esther. He trusted, like what other team said, he just trusted yung sa skills ni,
okay.
Ni Esther. And then we rated him 4.
Okay.
And then... for us, Teddy should have used yung persuading na style. Parang selling the vision, ganyan. Pero may direction kasi kailangan din ni Esther ng guide kasi new siya dun sa department na transfer siya. And yes, we agreed that Teddy is ultimately accountable.
Okay.
And yung possible reason might be insensitivity or he lacks initiative to ask what's wrong. Parang pigil lang si Esther, sinahirapan na siya, pero hindi siya, yun, hindi rin umamin or naging transparent si Esther dun sa situation niya po. So.
Sheena and team, thank you very much. Big hand for Sheena and team. And now, last but not least.
I don't have any choice. What is dominant style? We thought of the leaders more of an empowering leader.
Okay.
Because based on the history of Esther, Teddy is trusting that she will perform well on a different position. So more of he entrusts the whole responsibility to Esther. And then in scale of 1 to 10, some of us rate lower, like 2 or 4. And then the ideal style should Teddy use in dealing with Esther. We're thinking of... at some point, he needs to like change the leadership style. So at some point, he needs to, one, he tried to be commanding, giving directions. And also, he needs to be more of a persuading leader. There's a direction in communication. And then, who is the ultimate accountable? Teddy is the boss. So he needs to take charge of the responsibility. Number 5, what is the possible reason Teddy did not change his leadership style? I agree with Kathy that based on the previous performance of Esther, yung confidence ni Teddy is that she will also perform well in this position.
Nomer and team, thank you very much. Big hand for Nomer and team. Okay. All right. I would give you guys 7. Okay. Let's process. Dominant style of Teddy. If you said empowering, you'll be correct. If you said involving, you'll be correct. Okay? If you said persuading, because here, he did not make pakialam, Esther. Oh, bahala ka na sa buhay mo. Kaya mo yan. Empowering to a fault, as a matter of fact. Okay? Scale of 10. How effective is Teddy's style in terms of getting results from Esther? If you said 2, you'll be fine. Anywhere from 4 below will be fine. Okay? It's just a matter of how strict you are. But if you give him an 8, you'll be in trouble. Okay? So 4 and below is fine. All right? Why? Well, because the numbers show it. What style should Teddy use in dealing with Esther and why? If you said commanding, you'll be correct. If you said persuading, you'd be correct. But beyond that, you'd be wrong. Okay? Because Esther didn't know what she was doing. She would either have to be told directly or will be offered a solution, will be sold a solution. So persuading to empower, to commanding, you'll be fine. Who is ultimately accountable for the results of the work? I think you guys got this on the head. It's, of course, Teddy. What are the reasons, possible reasons Teddy did not change his style on Esther? Ignorance is one reason, okay? You are assuming something that Teddy may not know. You know the four leadership styles. Teddy may not have been, may have been ignorant. By the way, these are true cases. They are, and the only reason I was able to write these cases is I am in this case. In these cases. I am in this case. I will not tell you who I am. I'm not Esther, that's for sure. Okay, so this is a real life case. And I just changed the name so that people don't get embarrassed, etc. Teddy is ignorant. Okay, I want you to know that because as of 3:15 today, you can no longer invoke ignorance as an excuse. Because you know that if the style is wrong, you must shift. You know there are other styles. And you're going to say, eh, ganito ako pinanganak eh. So, sorry, no. Because you've attended the seminar, it's too late. You cannot invoke ignorance. The other reason is, I call it the momentum of past practice. The momentum of past practice. We must, you and I must beware of the momentum of past practice. Particularly if past practice was successful, for example. The case shows that Teddy was promoted because he was an empowering leader. Fortunately for him, when he was empowering his people in marketing, they were good. And so they produced results. Big mistake of Teddy was when he was promoted, he then said, aha, since I was promoted because I'm an empowering leader, henceforth I will empower everyone that works for me. Wrong. Okay? Because style is situational. It depends on the individual. So, Teddy was blind to this. Okay, as far as he was concerned, the momentum of past practice was too overwhelming, was inexorable for him. Since I was successful as an empowering leader, I will always empower people. Wrong. It could be disastrous. As you can see in this case, he empowers Esther. Esther is not ready for empowerment and too proud to ask for help. Result? Disaster. Okay? So, you and I have been successful with our typical leadership style, with our dominant leadership style. We will make the same mistake as Teddy if we don't understand that we must shift depending on the situation, regardless of our leadership style. Okay? All right. Questions, comments? Now, on page 27, I want you on the top of page 27, hindi po ba, merong four leadership styles or approaches dyan. Right? Page 27, on top. Beside A1 commanding, I want you to write transactional. Beside A1 commanding, I want you to write transactional. The transactional leader uses only the commanding style or predominantly the commanding style. Okay? Beside empowering, I want you to write laissez-faire. Don't ask me to spell it. Laissez-faire. The laissez-faire leader uses primarily empowering, regardless of the situation. Then I want you to put a bracket encompassing A1 to A4. Put a bracket encompassing A1 to A4. Write transformational. The transformational leader uses all four approaches depending on the situation. Okay? The transformational leader uses all four approaches depending on the situation. All right. Page 28. Sorry, 29. What drives your dominant leadership style? There are four major factors. Number one, the leadership style your parents used to raise you. Your dad will be the primary factor in influencing your leadership style. If your father was a commanding style when he raised you, your tendency will be to have a commanding style. If your father was an empowering type of person, you will tend to be an empowering type of person. Yun ang influence, okay? So my dad was a commanding person. So I tend to be commanding. But as we were growing up, I was the product of the original OFW family. My dad was an OFW. But not Saudi Arabia. It was Guam and Saipan nung araw, okay? So when we were small, he would write us letters. Do not swim in the river. And you know, we were so afraid. And my mother was a very supportive wife. So she represented our father very effectively. And we did not swim in the river. Our house was right beside the river in Tarlac. That's how commanding my dad was. Just through a letter. Okay? It was parenting by letter. When we became teenagers, we discovered something. Our father was not there. Because it's a terrible thing. 45 years, I saw my father once a year until he died. And so I swore I will never be an OFW person because I'll never leave my family like that. Okay? Now, when we became teenagers, we discovered, where's the old man? He's not here. So my mom will read the letter reminding us how to behave. But my mother was an empowering person. So when I became a teenager, we became, my mother just let us do what we wanted to do. So the influence to me, I am what you call a schizophrenic leadership style. I can go from commanding to empowering in a split of a second. So parents. Second is authority figures in your youth. In your youth, when you are 14 years old, you know, during high school. Let's say high school. Someone, an uncle, a ninong, a teacher, an inspiring teacher, someone who you said, I want to be like him, I want to be like her. That impacts your leadership style, okay? And third is your boss early in your career. Your first boss, typically, in your first job. A boss early in your career who impressed you a lot, okay? I was 19 years old. I'm a fresh graduate from Ateneo. My first dream was fulfilled, to graduate from the Ateneo. My second dream was to join Procter & Gamble. I was accepted by some miracle, by the grace of God, in Procter & Gamble. Okay? We were under the mentorship of Gus Makuha, the late Gus Makuha. He passed away already. I'm discovering when you have gray hair, all of your examples are the late, this and the late. Anyway. We were under the new batch of brand assistants in Procter & Gamble. We're under the mentorship, or more appropriately, the tormentorship of Gus Makuha. He was sharp. He was demanding. He was smart. He was attractive. He was terrifying. We all wanted to be like Gus Makuha. And we were all afraid we might be like Gus Makuha. So we had mixed emotions, but he had tremendous impact on us. His name is Augusto. So he, ako Alejandro or Alex, I signed my A with a nice, round, charming A. But Gus Makuha signed his A with two straight letters, A, as in capital A, A, P, Makuha. Within 3 months, I was signing my Alex, A, T, Castillo, just like Gus Makuha. The impact of Gus was so strong, even our penmanship changed. Up to today, I'm signing my name, my checks, A, T, Castillo. Of course, when I write a personal note, it's going to be the round Alex, you know. But such was the impact of Gus. Even my penmanship changed. Mas malala po yung kaibigan ko si Ricky. Ricky signed his name like Gus Makuha. R.A. Samson. Now, wait a minute. Sabi ko kay Ricky, teka muna, hindi ba yung R buntis yan sa taas? Hindi, ganyan talaga yung R ko. Sabi ko, malala impact ni Gus Makuha dito. Malala ito. So, that takes into consideration. Then finally, my individual temperament. When you mix the brew, it produces your leadership style, your dominant leadership style. Okay? Kanya ka nagkaganyan. Okay? Because of that brew. All right? Now, What's the point? The point is this. You and I must understand the source or the influences in our leadership style. Notice. Whoops, nawala. Balik mo. Notice. Individual temperament is the only genetic factor here. In other words, genes or genetic influences account for about only 25%. What's the point? The point is everything else is not genetic. You can grow out of it. Are you with me? So, the majority of the influences to your leadership style is flexible. Why do I need you to understand this? Because you need to understand that awareness and understanding of the source of your style frees you from an unconscious psychological bondage to it. It will allow you to employ a leadership style driven not by your past nor your personality, but by the followers' readiness and the goals of the organization. It is very important. It is not true. You cannot change your style because the recipe of your style, only 25% of it is genetic, your natural temperament. What the point is this, you can still be yourself even if you go from empowering to commanding to involving to persuading. Are you with me? There are commanding people who are very charming about their being commanding. And there are empowering people who are very stern about their empowering. Because it's their temperament. Are you with me? So, I outgrew my mother and father. My beloved mom died at 95. My beloved father died at 92. I've outgrown them. I love them. But I've outgrown them. I don't have to be commanding or empowering. I can be what I want to be, depending on the situation. I have outgrown those who impressed me when I was in high school. I have outgrown them. I don't have to be like them. I have outgrown Gus Makuha. I don't have to be like Gus Makuha. I can be me, you see. So, this is very important because it will free you from the myth that I cannot change. If I'm commanding, I'll be commanding until I die. That's not true. You can shift because you need to shift for the sake of the organization and your subordinates. Okay? We will now talk about the four readiness levels of followers. It ranges from a low of R1 to a high of R4. Low readiness, low to moderate readiness, moderate to high readiness, and high readiness. When you put the two concepts together, you arrive at the readiness-based leadership style grid, which my wonderful associates will distribute to you. Your first souvenir from the seminar, okay? You have a handout. Mine was in acrylic. I got this from a situational leadership seminar in the 1980s. And they were the original situational leadership facilitators. And I got my version of this grid in acrylic. I still have it in my library at home. Whenever I went from one company to another, I brought it with me. And it is always on my desk. And when someone comes in, the mental calculation in my head will be, anong readiness level nito and what leadership style should I adopt? Okay, so you will do yourself a favor if you go to National Bookstore and invest a few pesos to laminate this so that you can put it up in your desk or in your cubicle to remind you, okay? The arithmetic is very simple, okay? Very simple concepts. What is the project or goal do you want to achieve? Number one. Who do you want to assign it to? Who do you want to assign the project to? What is the readiness level of that individual or group? Is it R1, R2, R3, or R4? If it is R1, then look for the style in the quadrant. So let me ask you, if the readiness level of your followers is R1, what should be your leadership approach? A1 or commanding? Kasi R1 eh. Tatanga-tanga pa yun. Wala pang alam yun. Batali ka rito. Oh, pencil paper, ready? Number one. Number two, and the guy will be so happy. Ay, mabuti na lang. Buti na lang, ini-spoon feed ako ni boss. Alam niyo, wala akong alam dito eh. You see? When the leadership style matches the readiness of the individual, there is peace and harmony. Esther was an R1. What's his name? Teddy was employing A4. Teddy should have employed A1, which is commanding. So, if you're Esther, and I'm Teddy, and I empowered you, but you are not competent in that project, you will be terrified. Oh my God, what do I do now? Teddy expects so much. I don't know what I'm doing. You see. So, there is tension and ultimately low productivity. Okay? If the individual is an R2, what is the approach? Persuading. R3, involving. R4, kasi mature na, bahala ka na. Okay, so very simple concept. Okay, now bring this home. Okay, what is the readiness level of a 2-year-old in taking care of herself or himself? R1. Okay, if your 2-year-old sister or nephew or daughter or son is about to put his or her little finger in the electric socket, you're not going to say, honey, how does that align with your priorities? You're not going to do that. That's a very empowering sign. You're going to grab the hand and say, don't do that. You can get killed. Okay? So, what is the readiness level of a teenager, 17 years old, who just got her driver's license and wants to borrow the brand new Civic of her father to take it for a spin? What is the readiness level of a newly licensed 17-year-old? Maybe R2. What is his or her readiness level in her mind? R4. You see the problem of parenting teenagers? You have to negotiate. Nah. Okay. And I warn you, if you have a child, please don't bring the grid and say, "Oy, R1, lika rito." You know, I want you to behave yourself, okay? You're just an R1. Dad, what are you talking about? No, never mind. So the reason why the church wants everyone to go through this is so that there's a common language in victory. And some of your colleagues and superiors have gone through this. What else do I want to say? Right. Okay. Let me see. I'm struggling. Why not? Sige, take 10 minutes. Yes, question. Varsha.
Is it possible that the person can be R1 in certain things and then R...
I was about to get to that, okay? Some people are R1 in certain projects. So, you are commanding with them. The same person could be an R4 in another project. So, you will be empowering to him or to her. You see the beauty of this? You are not going to condemn anyone to a readiness level for all areas because it is situational. Someone who is R1 in one area could be R4 in another area. So, from commanding, the next day you will be empowering and there will be no confusion on the part of the individual because he or she knows what he or she knows. Are you with me? Okay, so when you talk about readiness-based leadership or situational leadership, this is where inconsistency becomes a virtue. Okay? Inconsistency becomes a virtue because it is situational. It depends on the readiness level. That readiness level could be 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 depending on the project and the level of readiness of the individual on a project-to-project basis. That is the fascinating part about this. Okay? You could be R1 in some projects or R4 in another project, and my approach to you will vary accordingly. Any other question? All right. Yes, Marcia.
Another question. Is the goal R4?
Yes, what you want is you mentor and coach your people, and this is day 2, okay? You mentor and coach people so that you will raise their level of readiness in as many areas as possible. When you do that, wow, you can take your life back. You can have your life back, you know, because you can delegate, assuming you're not neurotic. Because some people, their people are R4s, but they don't want to delegate. They don't want to empower. But that's another issue. We will deal with that on day 2.